FirstAmendmentRadio.com to find out first, and on satellite at Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Good afternoon, everyone. You are listening to Financial Survival, sponsored by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. And I am Elodie Cederstrom, and thank you for joining me today on January 24th, 2005. For all of your gold and silver coins, quality service, and competitive pricing, and added to that list is Truth and Honesty, Discount Gold and Silver Trading. We have it all right here at 1-800-375-4188. You can make your investments with Discount Gold and Silver Trading with confidence of knowing your order is handled privately and with the utmost professionalism and respect, no matter the size of your order, big or small. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Today's closing prices on the precious metals. Gold was up, 10 cents at $427.10, and I'll take it. Silver was up 4 cents at $6.85. Platinum was up $3 at $880, and palladium was up $1 at $206. I know oil was trading earlier today over 48 again, and I guess the markets had a little bit of a down day. But I guess we will have to go to Mr. Robert Chapman and allow him to bring us up to date on all the closing prices. Good afternoon, Mr. Robert Chapman.
Well, good afternoon. It's nice to be here again.
And it's great to have you back.
Well, thank you. Hopefully that we'll all get some better weather. How was your weather there today?
You know what? It really wasn't that bad for what they, I mean, for days and days of reporting and everything like that. It just, we probably had about 6 inches. And I think the worst part was a little bit of the winds that we had some drifts and everything. But you know what? It wasn't that bad. It's winter. What do they expect? I don't know what New York and Boston and those guys got, but for central Pennsylvania, hey, we're here. It wasn't that bad.
Well, I got 3 feet in New England.
Well, that's a lot.
and most of the cities, Boston, New York, parts of the temperatures were 0 to 5 degrees, and that's pretty darn cold.
It was cold here. It was cold here. I mean, we were down to the 5 degrees, and we were down to the 2 and the 7. But, I mean, as far as the amount of snowfall, I suppose it could have been worse, but I guess we were fortunate.
Well, I'm glad you chopped all that wood. They have plenty for this cold snap.
Absolutely. Boy, I'll tell you, wood and ammo, make sure you have it.
Well, you know, we saw the repo numbers come in this morning from the Federal Reserve, behold, they dropped from almost 70 billion down to 66.341. And so we knew there was going to be a down day in the stock market, and that was reflected in what looked to be about a 25-point drop in the Dow if you compared the Dow to the Financial Times average, which is called the FTSE in London. And I use it as a marker in the morning. Every morning we start watching the markets at around 5 o'clock Eastern time. And the price of gold on the outside month is up 20 cents. The Dow is down 24 points. The 10-year note was 4.13, which means the yield moved down about 2 or 3 clicks today. And that's money coming out of the stock market and going into bonds for safety, or I should say relative safety. The Standard & Poor's index was at 1164 in round figures, down 4, which is around 36 Dow points. NASDAQ was down 25, so they were both substantially or somewhat weaker than the Dow was. And usually Monday's a good day in the market. And as I said in the last issue, and also I said in the program last week, when you see these repo figures go down, you know that the Fed is stepping out of the way. You know that they're saying, hey, there's something coming, and it's just too much for us, and we're not going to try to stand in there and stop whatever it is. So 10,369 on the Dow, and the bond market is way overpriced, but they don't know what to do with their money, and they're not as sophisticated as you are, because you listen to us and we tell you the sophisticated side of the market. Incidentally, NASDAQ's about to break 2,000. It closed at 2,008.70, and I think if it goes through 2,000 tomorrow, it'll have a lot of traders thinking twice about making commitments. The price of oil and gas, I don't have them right in front of me right now. I'll give them to you as they come through. These will be closes, and they're in the process of posting them right now. Canadian dollar, 81.71, down 0.18. The euro, 130.56, plus 0.0009. So we're just up a smidgen, so to speak. And I'll get back to the oil and gas as soon as it flows through here. The gold stocks were mixed. Most of the exploration stocks were down. The only one of the few exceptions was Wheaton River, which is attempting to merge it with Goldcorp. And Mawson Resources was up 5 or 10 cents today. There was some pretty good demand for the shares of MAW.C, and that's a good little speculation. I believe, because Monday's usually a good day for the Dow, I would imagine that the Dow might really get knocked around tomorrow. You might see it down another 100 points. And I don't think that Washington's going to be very happy about that. George Bush's honeymoon is over. As I wrote in the last issue, the Social Security changes that he envisioned are dead on arrival. There's just no way they're going through. And I think the same thing is going to happen to his attempt to grant amnesty to these millions and millions and millions, 18 to 20 million illegal aliens of the United States. And I think he's has run into a brick wall in what is a very, very volatile situation. My gauge is about 65% of the people in the United States do not want unbridled illegal immigration. And that's pretty overwhelming. And you know, you may not think about this. It may be the farthest thing from your mind, but guys in Washington who are going to run for re-election 2 years from now, they have already begun running. And issues like changing the social contract, changing Social Security, and allowing 20 million felons to become American citizens, or at least go on that pathway, are two issues that could easily cost him the next election. And so I don't think that they're going to be super anxious to tackle that. And so I think those two things will go by board. And no matter what happens, if that is, in fact, is true and they reject it, no matter what happens, it's going to hurt the office of the president. One of the things I wrote about this weekend, which I didn't think would get into the news that fast, was that the Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld, he has had a secret group operating within government, and they have been doing nominally what the CIA was doing before, and that was doing things outside the United States and also within the United States, all sorts of clandestine operations. And I think the Congress is really upset about it. They were using money to operate it out of a black ops program, which is money that they ferreted here and there. And it's not good to have government where you have secret groups operating that Congress doesn't know about, the public doesn't know about. And that's not American. That's not democratic. That's not what you do in a republic. You only do that sort of thing in a totalitarian state. And I still contend that the neocons are lunatics. And I've never seen anything in history like this. I mean, even Caligula wasn't that dumb. And but anyway, I think that the position of the president is weakening every day now. His popularity rating was 39 in a new poll that just came out, and it should be about 65. The previous poll, it was 49. It was an L.A. Times poll that came out last week, which we had in the International Forecaster. And I really believe, and this doesn't happen normally that quickly, I really believe that he's already a lame duck president. And I think for the next 4 years, very little legislation will be passed. Congress is just going to kind of bang around and do their thing and just waste a lot of time. Also, even Brzezinski said that you either increase the number of troops in Iraq by 500,000 or get out. And he's an expert on the area. He wrote classics, Clash of Civilization. And I think that the election that's coming up here at the end of the month is going to be a disaster. It could lead to civil war between the Sunnis and the Shiites, who are two sects of the Muslim faith. And the U.S. government, U.S. troops, caught in a crossfire. I mean, we have almost 6,000 Americans who are soldiers who have gone to Canada who refused to go back. Most of them have been there to Iraq. They just simply refused to go back. And another thing is that I think were they to attempt to institute a draft now, I think they could have revolution on their hands. I mean, that is how deeply the American public is against selective service. adventurism in the Middle East and for profit for the anointed people. And so with that, I'll turn it over to Melody before I lose my voice.
Well, we don't want you to do that, but I want to remind the listeners out there that the computer is on, and if anybody wants to send us a question or any comments, you may do so by emailing discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. That's discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. And, you know, you mentioned about, you know, the president being having a lame duck 4 years in. It's like perhaps that is why his agenda is so big. I mean, because, I mean, when you think about all these things that this idiot wants to do, I mean, it's almost coming to the point where, you know, he's not going to get it all, he's not going to get it done, you know. So, it's, to me, it's just like a cover up as, you know. And it was interesting because we mentioned prior to the program that about Johnny Carson dying. And what was interesting, I was reading some of the articles from Yahoo and Excite, and I noticed that his father, in early 90s, I guess there was some sort of get-together with Carson, or I don't know if Carson made his last appearance or something, but the elder Bush had said that he made America laugh and think. And then I read further, and even his son cannot come up with anything better than, because he basically said this, he said the exact words, he made America laugh and think. And I'm thinking, well, whoever writes his statements and so forth, they need to change it a little bit, you know. He ought to come up with his own thoughts. But I just thought that was a little interesting. But remember, I really don't know how interesting that was, but, you know, I want to talk a little bit about oil, and I want to ask you a question, because I believe a couple of months ago, when the oil prices were rising, that you had made a comment that the winter oil was taken into consideration, like, back in, was it October or November, I guess, or, you know, because they start changing out their processing from their, I guess their gasoline and to start refining the winter oil. I mean, I'm not an expert on that area, but so when they come out and say, and I guess my question is, when they come out and saying that because we've had this deep chill here in the east and that it's impacting the oil prices, increasing the oil prices, I mean, we've had a relatively mild winter so far, and I mean, this is the normal winter. I mean, it's not any different than some other winters. So are they covering up, which I think they are, they're just covering up what's truly happening like over in Iraq. As far as I read, none of their northern, I believe it's their northern pipelines, are even producing any type of oil. And we still have all the disruptions, you know, and questionable oil coming in from Venezuela and all the other places, Nigeria, and, I mean, you can list them, and there's problems in all of those places. So I'm not
sure. Well, first of all, I'd like to address Johnny Carson. I lived in Malibu for a long time, and he lived just down the road from me. And I'll never forget one night we were on Pacific Coast Highway having dinner, and it was in the summertime, and we came out, and I could see between Johnny Carson's house and Carmen Dragon's house. Carmen Dragon was an orchestra leader, and boy, was the captain of Captain and Tennille.
We're losing
anyway,
you.
Well, you losing me?
Yeah, I'm losing you. Don't.
This is not a good time to lose me. Am I coming back in again?
Yeah, I mean, we want to hear the whole story, so.
So anyway, my wife and I, we went across the street to our car, and I could see Johnny down on the beach. And this woman walked up to him. She had a bikini on, but no top. And so then they walked in toward his home. Well, several months later, I found he was getting married to the girl who walked on the beach behind his house, because he was right on the water. And I'll never forget that. And so the next time I saw him, I teased him about it. And he says, oh, you should only be so lucky. But anyway, it's a little story about Johnny, who was a very nice guy. And I don't know many people who didn't like him, even in the entertainment business, where they were always trying to chop each other's fingers off or, one-upmanship. That's a very strange and testy industry. I lived in the middle of it for many years and didn't participate. In fact, when I was a broker, I refused to take any people in the theater industry as clients because they thought their stock account was like a bank account. And every time they needed money, they just call out and sell some stock and get some money. And I had to tell them, you know, after having one or two, that it didn't work that way and I wouldn't take any more. But anyway, if you get on to oil during the winter is inelastic. That means it doesn't stretch. It means that prices usually stay the same or higher from the beginning of November until the end of February, sometimes mid-March. And here, in addition to the inelasticity of that commodity, we also have what I believe has become a colder than normal winter. And we also have, there goes oil now, 48.81 up 28 cents. That's the close, March delivery. And we are not getting any, zero production of oil out of Iraq right now. That may start a week or two, but we're getting nothing. And they have systematically blown up everything. And what they're trying to do, not only stop the oil production to bring money in, but they are also trying to isolate Baghdad as far as energy is concerned. And they haven't been successful in doing that, but that's what they're trying to do. And I think that oil will continue to trade at these levels. And I suppose that in March, April, maybe even into May, that the price will settle back probably somewhere between $35 and $45 a barrel, and I'll guess at $40. And that is, of course, if we do not have some untoward event happen. And with the volatility of what's going on out there, there could be nasty events happening and things that would make oil go, the market go down or whatever. And so to be on the long side of oil is okay. I think that the left side in natural gas is a better bet here. And in fact, I saw a report that came through over the week, and I haven't gotten into it yet, but it talks about the restrictions on gas production in the United States, and they've got to take the restrictions off. And if they don't do that, we're going to fall behind terribly in gas production, and we're going to have to start importing massive amounts of LNG, which is liquefied natural gas. And when you liquefy it and you put it on these great big ships, it adds to the cost. We're getting a good part of our oil and gas now from Canada. In fact, Canada is our biggest exporter to us, and that will probably continue. I expect in time that Canada will also export water to the United States, but that's still a little bit away. And in the stocks that I recommend, several of them are water stocks. Companies that own water companies, and I think that's going to become an issue in the years to come. You mentioned Venezuela. Venezuela is our fourth or fifth largest exporter to us of oil, and the president of Venezuela is a socialist. He's enormously popular. They had a referendum several months ago, and he won 58% of the vote in the face of some very, very stiff opposition from the extraordinarily wealthy that have been running Venezuela in with elitist groups of the United States and Europe. And they've just got billions and billions and billions of dollars. Someone like Mr. Chavez could not get elected were the situation not made to be so deplorable by the people who have been running the country for the last 100 years. I mean, the very wealthy has passed the jobs of the courts and Congress and the presidency. Chavez was elected, and they've been just looting the country. And because of it, it has extremely strong, I would say over 60% following, and that is very strong. The why is people live in tar paper shacks with tin roofs. They sleep on the floor. They have no medical, no dental care. Malnutrition. They can't read or write. They've never schooled. And that was the legacy of the people who have been looting that country since 1498. And it's no wonder they voted this man in, socialist or not. And I have a running gun battle, verbally, with all of my conservative friends saying, well, he's a Marxist, he's this, he's that. Well, he may be a lot of things, but he traded oil at a lower price to Cuba, who has sent 14,000 doctors and dentists over there to take care of those people. And incidentally, the medical quality of medical care in Cuba is excellent. Very, very good. As good, if not better, than the United States. As a matter of fact, there are a number of countries that are as good, if not better. And another one is Mexico. Excellent. You know, you don't hear about those things. I do, because I read all this stuff. But anyway, what's going on, and this is why I'm elongating this thing, so people will understand that sometimes your enemy's enemy is your friend. We have the same enemy, Venezuela, in the United States. It's the elites who run our government. And anything that's done to make their life more difficult, I'm all for. Plus the fact, I like what Chavez done in that country. If you've ever been in the third world and seen how these people live, you just can't believe it. And anyway, what's happening as feedback to the United States is our president, via several agencies, which are funds for the Central Intelligence Agency, and the CIA, twice tried to murder, assassinate Mr. Chavez. And they funded groups to try to politically overthrow him. That is not the business of government. We're not supposed to be up there murdering other heads of state, throwing governments. We've been doing it, it's got to stop. And so what has happened is that China has come in and going to invest a lot of money, just like they are, in Iran and India and Brazil and Peru and Argentina and on. And we now have a group which is based on trade, which includes Russia, China, Iran, India, Brazil, Argentina, and Venezuela. And what's happening in Venezuela with the oil, which we began to talk about, is that Venezuela is going to... and they don't want to be so dependent. The United States, which now gets probably 95% of the oil, and that's the business thing. Other than the fact that Bush's high order is trying to kill a guy, which no American citizen should condone. And so with that said, our oil input from Venezuela, which is very close nearby, so it's inexpensive to ship the oil in, is going to start decreasing. Now, another outgrowth from that is a group in South America, which I just mentioned, have put a group together. It's called the Andean Coalition. And they are going to stop FTAA dead in its tracks. Free trade of the Americas. That's history. And I can thank them for that. It's too bad they didn't step into CAFTA, which is a Caribbean American countries, Nicaragua, Guatemala, Costa Rica, and some of the Caribbean countries. Lose for those people, they'll just take tremendous advantage of them. And so you have a whole bunch of things that have come out of our dreadful foreign policy. One of them is that there's more socialist governments in South America now. In fact, the Sandinistas are even back in power in Nicaragua. And you have a situation as an outgrowth of that where FTAA is being stopped. And then on top of that, you have a diminution of oil supplies coming to the United States from Venezuela. And they get enough oil for the next 200 years, incidentally. And so with all of those things in mind, I think the United States has got far more problems when it comes to natural resources than anybody in the United States envisioned. The State Department knows that. But, you know, they were part of the problem. They caused these kinds of things to happen. And, you really can't blame people in other countries for hating the United States government. Not the American people, but the United States government. And they do so with good reason. And I've lived over three-quarters of the world, and I'm not just visiting. I mean, I lived in Europe for 6 years, Africa for 3 years, in the Caribbean, Central America, Mexico, Canada, and, I lived in Africa for 3 years. And so I got a handle on how other people think. And, of course, I'm fluent in five languages, so that helps. The United States, for oil, and oil alone, is going to have a very, very hard road ahead. And we need different kind of leadership, and I don't think we're going to get it. And somewhere along the way, there's going to be a catalyst. Maybe it'll be the draft. But there's a good chance the United States government will be overthrown. And they got nobody to blame but themselves. And it'll be overthrown by its own citizens, incidentally, not foreign force. People are getting fed up, and they just don't know what to do. And when you have that situation, and then you have a falling economy, you've got absolute dynamite in your hands.
Well, you know, I think it'll probably take a little more than the draft, but, you know, in order for them to even bring out the draft, they're going to have another situation in order to where the people will, you know, at least listen to what they have to say about the draft, you know, again, because, you know, we go back over and over and over and over. You know, they create these situations that put fear in the people, and fear drives the American people. They want everything to be safe. They want to be safe in their little homes, in their little cars, in their little offices that they go to every day. And they will give up whatever is necessary. So they're going to have to get to a point where, you know, they don't care about being safe anymore. And again, it comes down to the kids. But you know what? Anymore, these families with their children, I mean, when they're so controlled by the schools and by the medication that they're on, and you know, parents, heck, you know, a lot of them are probably recommending that their kids go into the services because they can't handle them at home anymore, because they're not allowed to handle them at home anymore. And they've been unable to control them. They've been unable to discipline them because you have the schools and the physicians and everyone against the parent, because that's, you know, again, we're back to the disruption of the family unit. It is no more. And it's very hard to keep if you do have it. And I see it. I hear it from people. I even see it in my own family, and, you know, my a boy being, you know, young teenager that has problems, and it's very difficult for the parents to do anything, because right away that's who they want to blame, and that's the parents. So yeah, it'll probably come down the economy with the continued outsourcing of the jobs. You know, I think when it really hits them physically. And what's interesting that you mentioned is the health care, the medical profession is better in some of these other countries, particularly when you mention Cuba and Mexico. Those are places where you would not think that they would be better than the U.S. And it's interesting that you say that. Let's see, we're a little past the bottom of the hour. I have an interesting history lesson today, Bob. We'll go ahead and touch on that, then we'll talk about the International Forecaster and what you can do to get a free copy of the International Forecaster. A little bit of history today. Do you know of a James W. Marshall? Does that name ring a bell to you at all?
No, I remember Marshall, who was the head of the Supreme Court, but his name wasn't James.
Well, on January 24th in 1848, James W. Marshall discovered gold on the property of Johann A. Sutter near Coloma, California. He was a builder, and he was overseeing the construction of a sawmill on the American River. And James S. Brown, he recalled that he jumped from the pit and stepped to him, and on looking in his hat, and I'm reading this because this is the way they talked. I'm not talking. This is what I'm reading. In his hat discovered, say, 10 or 12 pieces of small scales of what proved to be gold. I picked up the largest piece, worth about 50 cents, and tested it with my teeth. And as it did not give, I held it aloft and exclaimed, "Gold, boys, gold!" And at that, they all dropped their tools and gathered round. And he also said, just when we had partly got to work, Mr. Marshall, with his old wool hat in hand, exclaimed, "Boys, I've got her now." So gold was discovered, and that began the 49 gold rush. Previous claims in gold in California had proven disappointing, and Marshall's find was met with skepticism at first. The gold rush began in earnest only after President Polk endorsed the discovery in December of 1848. Prospectors heading to California the following year were dubbed 49ers. Nearly 100,000 people arrived in California in 1849. Although many intended to make fortunes in gold, others capitalized on the miners themselves. Naturally, you had the stores and laundries and other enterprises that sprang up overnight in California. And you had the California boom times. And so gold was found in California in 1848, January 24th. So all of your gold and silver needs, you don't have to go to California, and you don't have to get on your hands and knees and mine gold. All you have to do is call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And you get competitive pricing here at Discount Gold and Silver. You get quality service, competitive pricing, truth and honesty, all at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. And any purchase over $3,000 of numismatic coins, you will receive a one-year subscription to the International Forecaster. We've been talking with Bob now for several months now, and he's provided great information to you on the radio. And many of you have taken the opportunity to take out the subscription and get a one-year subscription for $129.95. Many of you took advantage of the savings that you receive in purchasing $3,000 of coins and getting a free subscription, so that enabled you to buy more gold and silver in your portfolio. You can call for a complimentary copy. It costs you nothing. It will give you an idea. 1-800-375-4188. But you've been listening to Mr. Chapman over these past couple of months. You understand the, and you hear the insight. I hear the comments every day of how much you all enjoy listening to Mr. Chapman, and that you all enjoy listening to this program, that we bring you so much information that you don't find in very many other programs. So make sure you support Mr. Chapman at 1-800-375-4188. Receive a complimentary copy. And again, we must warn. We don't have to convince, but we can talk about. We can give people the reading material and allow them to make their own decisions. So what if it takes them a month to understand something? So what if it takes them a year? But they have to start somewhere. I'm sure many of us knew from a long time ago that things were going to be difficult in this country. Some of us learn along the way. I hear it every day. You know what, Melody? I was one of them until such and such a date, and then something caught my attention. Well, by providing subscriptions to other people, you can also get their attention to where they might learn as far as what's going on in this country, so that they can begin to prepare for themselves, whether it be with food, whether it be with guns, whether it be with gold and silver, and whether it be with reading material. They have to start somewhere, and you have to start somewhere. And you can start by calling 1-800-375-4188. For the complimentary copy or for any gold and silver packages over $3,000 numismatic coins, we will get you out a complimentary one-year subscription at $129.95. Anything you'd like to say? Oh, and listeners, I haven't received any emails with questions, so remember to do that at discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. And if you can't get to a computer till later on, well, that's fine. You can do it at any time during the day. I check the messages more than once, so discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. And Mr. Chapman, as long as your phone is coming in pretty good, if you'd like to go ahead and give them a description or your email address and any information that you'd like to provide of the International Forecaster. And it is one of the best publications. You don't need 80 different newsletters, and at $129.95, it is a great price. So if you'd like to say something.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Good. You were cutting out. The International Forecaster is published each week by email, 40 to even more times a year. It usually runs around 35 pages. It's about business, finance, social, and political issues throughout the world. We also have a hard copy that goes out twice a month. We also answer people's questions. They don't have to be just about finance and things like that. And we don't turn anybody's questions down. And we try to help people. And if something is convoluted and needs to be, we request their phone number and we call them and try to help them in that way. So we do things that all other newsletters do not do. And I can promise you they don't do that. And we've been in publication for over 15 years now. And prior to that, I was a stockbroker. I owned my own stockbrokerage firm, and I was probably probably the largest gold silver stockbroker in the world. And so I have a very, very wide background in business and gold and silver, which is. There are not many people in America who have that kind of a background. And so we hope you call in to Melody or email her to get a free complimentary copy, or call and get yourself some numismatic coins and join us as, in this case, free members of the group that's receiving the International Forecaster. For those of you who would like to access our website, which happened to be down over the weekend for some unexplained reason, but it's back up again. They were probably cleaning it or something, but whatever. That address is the TheInternationalForecaster.com. The International, FORECASTER.com. For those of you who have any questions, you can email me, and that address is International_ is like a dash, but it's lower down. It's like a line on the line. So it's International_Forecaster, FORECASTER, at Yahoo, YAHOO.com.
Thank you, Bob. And remember, for complimentary copy, 1-800-375-4188, or email the International Forecaster at international_forecaster@yahoo.com. And Discount Gold and Silver Trading, or I should say Discount Gold and Silver. Maybe I'm going to have to add that trading, because it's just habit to add that trading word. Discount Gold and Silver at yahoo.com. And I'll be speaking to my webmaster this evening. We're working on it. It takes a lot of time to get something up. You know, you have to make sure you have the right. There's so many websites out there that when you get to it, you don't want to stay there very long. You don't. Either the print is small, or they try to get fancy, or they have their prints too small, or they add blue print and pink print and. You know, sometimes it's just difficult to read. It's difficult on your eyes. So it takes a little bit of time, and particularly when two people have full-time jobs, they try to fill it in and so forth. So I'm excited about that. We're working on it slowly but surely. It'll come around, and I'll make that announcement for you. And I believe what I'll have I don't know if I should leak this little bit of information, but... hopefully I might have a little bit of a news brief that you will be able to sign up to, so that maybe at the end of the month you can get what happened to the precious metals markets at the end of the month or week. We haven't really figured that out yet, so you'll be able to become involved in our website. So I'm looking forward to that, and we'll still be able to provide great quality product, great pricing, truth, honesty, no carnival barking here. We give you a good price, a good product, and we're consistent. We don't let our competitors phase us, because we look at the big picture. We don't look at what's going on today, and we've seen a great pullback in gold. It's pretty much built a strong base around that in the 420s, and Bob, do you think we'll be seeing this at 420? Do you think that has since it's remained steady there for so long, that we can pretty much think the next leg will be upward?
Well, I think it'll be upward, and I think the reason why is that, you know, the underlying reasons for gold going higher are there. They're not going to go away. But there are other reasons that can happen, and those reasons are, as I look at the next week or so here, is the election in Iraq, which is really a non-election. And I think if that whole thing turns out any more poorly than it looks, we could be looking at some real jumping up and down.